If I kill somebody on the boat, where does that actor go?
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our good friend Laura Okagaki-Brasper returns to answer our questions about the coronavirus. Dr. Love tells us how it is.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And Tim Wick.
Hey, hey.
And we are joined once again tonight by the incomparable Dr. Laura Okagaki-Brasper. Dr. Love, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
If you've seen us at Convergence, you have seen Dr. Laura here with us a couple times, and she's also...
Not Dr. Laura, never Dr. Laura. Somebody already ruined that name for me.
I forgot about her. Oh, my God.
She is legit the worst Dr. Laura there is, too. So all the Lauras in the world...
It's Dr. First Name.
Dr. First Name. So, for real, though, if you don't know who Dr. Laura, not this awesome Dr. Love is, you should Google that. I forgot all about that bitch. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. Anyway, Dr. Love, Laura, who is a doctor, hello.
Hi.
So we wanted to have you on because you have a background. This is your deal, right?
Like, yeah, we're living in my, like, all of my plans right now, which have clearly fallen through and are not being utilized at all. And yeah, so
remind our listeners, what exactly is your field of expertise?
So I've got a PhD in microbiology, immunology, and cancer biology, and that's I specialized in, say, infectious diseases of the lungs and brain. And then after that, I did a postdoc in bioinformatics. So I have a little bit of computational and genomic experience. And then I worked for the Department of Homeland Security for like 2.5 years. As a contractor working in bioterrorism preparedness. So while I didn't specifically plan on, you know, natural occurring, mm-hmm. which this is not bioterrorism. This is not created in a lab. This is not escape. This is not an intentional release of any kind. There mm-hmm. is science backing that up.
Yep.
But a lot of the principles are the same, you know, giving appropriate advice to, you know, the population, and, you know, preparing hospitals, preparing, you know, public health departments, things like that.
So we know for a fact this wasn't created in any kind of lab. It was not an intentional bioterror attack by any means. You said we have the science to back that up. What science do we have that demonstrates that?
So they did, there's a Nature paper out there, and I can try and, you know, I don't know if you want to link it, I can try and find it, but, there is a science paper that was published in, I think, March or April, where they did a genomic analysis. And the genomic analysis basically shows that there's no indication that there's any kind of... So if you want to genetically manipulate something like a virus, there's usually tags in it that you have to use to, in order to isolate purified, you know, altered viruses.
Sure.
And there are no indications of that there are any tags of any kind, any man-made anything, anything used in order to isolate a specifically altered virus of any kind, and all of the mutations in it look naturally occurring.
Nothing to blame but chaos.
And stupidity.
And stupidity.
Hey, stupidity is the best.
Yeah.
So
we have lots of that going on right now. Yes.
So you say that you, even though it was for bioterrorism, that some of the plans that you helped develop at the Department of Homeland Security could have been used for this pandemic. Were they?
I can't really specify. But I also don't know because I'm not there anymore.
Sure. Nothing you've seen though.
Yeah, nothing. Well, you know, a lot of it is you know, the state health departments are the biggest people to be preparing. Also FEMA is one of the major agencies, as well ASPR, which is the Assistant Secretary of Preparedness and Response. Those are the major, those two are the major federal response units. And then the states, of course, have the health department, and they usually have either city or state level emergency management mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. So they all have prepared. I mean, everybody's prepared for things like this. Everybody was preparing for flu pandemics. This just mm-hmm. happened to be worse than a flu pandemic, because for the flu pandemic, we actually have vaccines and medications that can help. And we obviously don't have either of those things now.
Is it just a matter of like infrastructure, right? Like it's like you're saying, vaccines, mm-hmm. Knowledge and all that, but is there a biological component as well? Like the 14 day period or up to 14 day period where you could be contagious without knowing it is, I mean, that's different than the flu.
Yeah, that all comes out like as more information, actual scientific information comes out. You know, the health departments are trained to make those decisions and or to make, guide the leadership. So in this case, the governors of the states or, the federal government. So all those people are well trained in decision making. Whether it is those people take the advice or not is a different story, like we clearly know. But they are, I mean, that is part of the public health education, and people who are in the departments of health in different states are trained to take into account, economic implications and health implications and psychological implications, panic, mm-hmm. or I mean, clearly panic buying of toilet paper was one of those things. Mm-hmm. Now panic buying of flour, organic, of course.
My children need bread.
don't take the bread from the mouths of her children.
My lifestyle.
clearly, I find entertainment in certain things. Aspect like at this stage, I have to like be entertained by it. Otherwise, I'd cry every day. I especially in the state of Minnesota, I trust the people. I know enough of the people that are in the Department of Health. I trust them. They're smart people.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are we doing?
We're doing as well as we can, I think. Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like nobody wants to see anybody go hungry or not be able to pay their rent or lose their jobs. Nobody wants to see any of that. We don't. But we also don't want to see hundreds of thousands of people dying, which we're into now. We're over 100,000 deaths mm-hmm. in the United States. We are in a tiny little first wave. We're going to have a huge second wave, especially after this weekend.
Yeah.
So after watching videos of like the Ozarks and
oh
like
my God.
Crowded over, it's just it's like infuriating to me.
I saw someone spit water at another person. Like in this video of the Ozarks, she like dunks under, she comes up and she spews like a thing of water, like at another human being. And I was like, what?
So I do have a question about that. This episode is going to go up in 2 weeks. So last week.
So my prediction is we're going to have a
Last week, I think was the week that Wisconsin Supreme Court decided that they didn't need any restrictions at all. Mm-hmm. And that means that Wisconsin's fully open because the Wisconsin legislature and the Wisconsin governor have to agree on a plan, and the Wisconsin legislature has no interest in actually formulating one. Mm-hmm. Now, talking to one of my bandmates who has a PhD in cellular biology, I believe, mm-hmm. And he said that it's likely going to be about a month before we really see the major fallout from that. From that state opening up and from people going to bars and doing literally everything that they can do mm-hmm. because nothing is closed. So I'm wondering if that sounds about right to you. What is your estimate of at what point we see the spike that is going to should believe will result from the complete opening up of the state too early?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've predicted probably end of June, early July into probably September is my my guess, and what I've seen other smarter people than myself who actually crunch the numbers instead of just guesstimating. I'm guesstimating. But based on their actual like calculated predictions, I'm also expecting a midsummer to end late summer peak, and it's going to be bigger than this.
That's the thing is like I've people have shown, you know, graphs of infection and death rates from 1918 flu. And it's always like, you know, a little thing and then a really big one and then another medium one. And it's like, you are here, you know, you are at the beginning of the first one. Like, and what's so astonishing to me is so many people are like, have the attitude of, well, if everyone's going to get it eventually, I might as well get it over with. The ICU beds aren't even all that full, so it should be fine.
They are now.
They are now. In Minnesota, they are.
Yeah.
And then 99% recovery rate. I actually was fighting with some people about that today because I'm like, recovered just means not dead.
Yep.
That's what that 99% recovered rate is.
Out of the ICU.
Not dead.
Right.
Like lifelong problems, they don't care. That's not what they're looking at. Like dead, not dead. It's a binary measure. So like, I guess, yay for you. You're not dead, but you could have long-term kidney, heart, lung, you know, like other things. They've got kids and teenagers now showing up with Hashimoto's and other like lifelong conditions.
It's Kawasaki's. Yeah.
Oh, Kawasaki's.
Different
you.
Japanese person disease.
Hashimoto's is the one that affects your thyroid, right?
Yes. Yep. That's one of them. Yeah.
That my friend has one. Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. And I say it's not, I say this also with a grain of salt. These are all very serious things. I'm only laughing at this stage because we have no control over anything that's happening anymore. The only thing we can control is ourselves at this point. I agree with you, Molly, that the more I read about people's experiences with this, I mean, there's somebody that just got out of the hospital that was in for 56 days on a ventilator.
Oh.
Now, ventilators are usually used fairly short term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 56 days on a ventilator. Now, imagine one, the hospital bill there. Yay, America. Yeah. And two, like the severity of the disease. Even if, sure, that person has recovered, that person left the hospital to go home, that person still probably can't walk very well. That person can't sit up on their own easily. That person is still struggling with breathing problems.
Yeah,
that
you have to relearn. Struggle with
breathing. Yeah, that person will struggle with breathing problems probably for years, possibly decades after this.
Yeah.
We don't even know the extent of the circulatory system problems. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, my light keeps changing. I'm like periodically going into like, I need a catch, right?
Most people are listening and not watching us, so I think we're totally good.
All right, so for the people who are listening, I keep getting dark for some reason.
If people are listening to this podcast, they're used to us occasionally getting dark.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Yeah. So you say that here in Minnesota, we're doing as best as we can. Do you feel, I mean, obviously as a nation, it's harder to say because we aren't really a nation. We are 50 small nations, right? Like is really what ends up happening. But what should we do right now? Like what can we, I mean, obviously, you know, everyone I know at least is staying masked up when they're going to be around people, maintaining social distance from everybody who they aren't already, you know,
in their
sharing space with. Right. And then, beyond that, just staying home as much as possible.
Like personal responsibility.
Yeah. I mean, like what other things are washing hands? Like what should we stay home? Should we try to expand our bubble? What do you think? What are you doing?
I'm also high risk. So, you know, take that, you know, if you're young and healthy, you may feel differently.
Mm-hmm.
So with anyone young and healthy, I mean, seeing what's happening to young, healthy people and still being in the hospital for, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time because of this, I personally don't feel like it's reasonable to take any risks at this stage. I stay home. Mm-hmm. As much as I can. I don't, I mask up when I go out. I do sew my own masks at this stage and have for many other people. You know, if you can't if you can't get like the disposables, definitely get the, you know, there are a million people on Etsy selling them. Go buy them.
Oh, yeah.
There's a number of, like, if you're in the Twin Cities metro area, there's local mm-hmm. people that are making them for and the money is going towards charity. Mm-hmm. That's another good thing. I don't believe, I am hesitant to expand my personal circle. Mm-hmm. I did a little bit in just being able to chat with a friend of mine outside for a little while last Friday, but I know that person has been equally careful. Other friends of mine, I would not be comfortable doing that with, because I know that they have taken risks, and that is something that I know I'd have to expose myself to.
Yeah. I had to go into the office today for an IT thing, and we had to be there physically, and I was, you know, they were doing what they could. You know, we had to hand sanitizer. They had masks if mm-hmm. you didn't have one, but we all had masks on, and everyone had masks on, and we were all 6 feet away from each other, and it still felt so fucking risky.
Yep.
Like I was in a chair waiting my turn. Someone came and sat down in a chair that was kind of like not across the table from me, but like across the table. And I was like, mm-hmm. nope. And like got up and moved. Because they were
like aimed at
you, kind of. And just like in general, mm-hmm. I just felt it was very hard. And I think what's really terrifying is not knowing, because I don't know my coworkers that well, not knowing if mm-hmm. that person was one of the people at the bars in Wisconsin, right? Not knowing if that person is, you know, going out and defying orders and deciding they're going to be one of those patriots, right? Like, yeah.
So I have a question that is directly, that is personal, all right? I'm in a band, right? Mm-hmm. And we are now, we can't rehearse online. It's impossible. The lag is impossible. We are talking about, because everybody has been very careful, whether or not we can engage in a socially distanced rehearsal where everybody stays at least 10 feet apart. Everybody wears masks. If we're going to sing, we will all face the same direction, not face each other, because we know that singing, the particles mm-hmm. are going to go further. All this other stuff. What do you think the risk of that is? Do you think that that's a risk that shouldn't be taken?
Is everyone is everyone low risk or in your band? Is it
everyone in the band is low risk?
No one has asthma.
No one has asthma.
Okay.
So, and I mean, it's entirely choice of the band. We're going to meet in an outdoor location if we do it. All that other stuff, and we don't even know when we can perform in public again, because of course, to perform in public, the audience has to be how far away from us?
from each other as well. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be performing in public for the rest of the year.
That's a prediction of mine as well.
Together and make music together, mm-hmm. what do you think is reasonable and what do you think shouldn't be risked?
That's actually a really good question. My band is also having the same thing, except the difference is that we breathe really heavily when we're playing.
You're a pipist.
Bagpipes. And so the drummers can wear masks. The pipers obviously can't unless we wear little gimp zippers, which kind of defeats the purpose of a mask anyways. So we can't really, you know, so the question is do we feel comfortable doing it outside, you know, 6 or more feet apart? You know, I personally don't feel comfortable. I don't know how well everyone else has been quarantining. I know how well I've been quarantining and a handful of others have been quarantining, but that obviously is not everyone.
And it's all self-reporting. I mean, you don't know for sure unless you live with the person, right? Like,
And not only that, but like they only need to come into contact with one person that hasn't been quarantining or hasn't been careful or as careful as they have been. Mm-hmm. So I would say it all entirely depends on how much you trust your band. And if you trust them, I say going outside, if you can wear masks, you know, outside with masks 10 feet apart, not all facing each other. I think that it's fairly low risk. I wouldn't worry too much about it. But in a situation like ours, where we're obviously heavily breathing, we are all facing into the same circle together. Mm-hmm. It increases the risk. Plus we have a number of people who are high risk in our band. So, mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
What is, I'm sure like we, you know, came to you to ask if you want to talk about this with us and you're a knowledgeable person mm-hmm. with this experience. So I bet other people are coming to you to ask for your advice.
Yep.
Is there a particular part of all this that you are the most sick of explaining or debunking? What's the one thing where you're like, oh my God, fucking, why haven't you just read the news? We've been over this so many times.
No, it's less that and more debunking, like the amount of false information I've been debunking, on, especially on Facebook of all places. Like,
shocking.
I know. It's just, it's a dumpster fire out there. But especially towards the beginning, I posted a thing saying basically like, hi, I have experience in this. If any questions come up, feel free to PM me or ask me questions here. And I had a lot of people who were like, sent me articles and were like, what do you think of this? And I would say, I go through point by point and just basically debunk everything.
Yeah.
So one of the things I did want to bring up on this particular thing is like, how do you tell what's good information and what's bad information?
Yeah.
Obviously, looking at the source is we always say this, but especially in scientific news, sources are key, right? If you're reading an article about a paper that was published and they don't link to that paper, that's a no-go. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it at all. Because I can't even believe if they can't link to the study, to the primary paper,
right?
It's a no go.
So the study might not even exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
It's very easy to write studies completely shown.
Yeah, it's complete hearsay, right? Like, if there's no evidence that that study actually exists, it makes it a lot harder. Or if they don't cite the actual author's names, like if so and so from whatever university published a paper saying this. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not a clickable link, if they don't have that information in there or the journal that it's in or anything like that, it's a no-go for me. Anything that is from someone you know, somebody else knows that is a nurse or a doctor is a no-go for me. Very little of that is, I've read a number of them where like, a friend of a friend is a nurse in an ER. Here's what she says about COVID.
Yeah,
and it's just like, no, like I just can't, without that having an actual source like attached to it.
If there's a post from someone who says, I'm a nurse and this is what I'm seeing, do you trust those?
If I know that person's actually a nurse.
Yeah. My mom got taken on Twitter by somebody who was all, I'm an ER nurse and my husband's an ER doctor and he died and this whole thing about him dying. And then people were like, if you look through her Twitter history, her husband has died 3 times the course of the last year. And he's been like everything. He's an ER doctor before he was a senator and like all this other. Yeah. It's. So like, there's a lot of that. I mean, that's the thing is like, there are people who are always seeking to take advantage. We saw it with 9/11. Yep. We saw it with Sandy Hook, people who are trying to take advantage of this stuff.
And trying to get sympathy for fake stories. Yeah, absolutely.
And being in those positions doesn't like preclude you from being an idiot either.
Right.
I mean,
No.
Ben Carson's a fucking surgeon. Like, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't take medical advice from him at all. And he was a surgeon at one point.
There's a reason he's not a surgeon anymore.
I once went to urgent care and got diagnosed with something that they wrote on my form. And when we looked it up, it's not anything. It was like, they said I had ascending venal angioma, which is like, not, those aren't words that go together.
which is where like a study comes into play. Yeah. It's like a nurse or a doctor could be an idiot, but not saying all doctors and nurses are idiots, but every group has their folks.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, what is the person that graduated bottom of their class at medical school called?
A doctor.
Again, I'm not saying that they're all smart enough. They're not. But you also, the other thing is making sure like people are acknowledging the limits of their knowledge. I fully admit like I am not an expert in clinical anything. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I can say I see stories of people being on ventilators for 3 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Or longer. I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you what like that kind of doctor. I'm a doctor, just not that kind of doctor.
You're not a medical doctor.
I'm not a medical doctor. I do not a clinician. I do not know like what warrants putting somebody on a ventilator. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know what those clinical thresholds are for any of that stuff. putting them on, taking them off. All I know is like, is that, I mean, I just tend to read more articles and things like that. So yeah.
It's, I'm finding it really frustrating that Facebook doesn't have a reporting option for like COVID fake conspiracy, right? Or fake news or anything. Like you can, I've been trying to report
public
people.
Health.
I've been trying to report people who say shit and there's no option. And the closest thing I can find is terrorism, which isn't really doing anything. They're like, are you sure we're having a hard time right now? I'm like, fuck yes, I'm sure. And it's nothing happens, right? So
If you can't be responsible enough to police your own shit because of like COVID concerns, then you need to stop taking advertising money because you can't run your service responsibly. Yeah. You need to turn down your service to some degree. Like if you can't do it right and you're contributing to a public health problem, then maybe you need to, I don't know, not be so concerned with making money.
I agree.
But they have a special button that says COVID-19 news. That
there's a button.
Because that's where I want my news to come from.
Yeah. Hashtag COVID news.
That is now. That's a solid note.
Well, this has been really helpful. Thank you so much. I think that finding people who know what the fuck they're talking about on any level right now is so refreshing. And myself included, you know, I mean, I've been watching the news and I know you and I talked about this early, like in February. We were some of the, you know, when people were like, hey, there's this shit happening, you know, in Asia that we should be very concerned about. And like, it's been nice to see you in my friends list and just know that anything I see coming from you, I can trust wholeheartedly. So I hope that other people who are listening have someone like that in their lives. And if not, seek someone out like that you can, you know, have that, you know, that they know what they're talking about. But
at the very least, you know, utilize good sources, like actual, like legitimate, you know, news sources or primary literature is harder to go by. But
are there any news sources that are really knocking it out of the park right now that you would recommend? Like, is there not really anything? Exactly.
I mean, it's all biased, right? Like I am certainly watch certain channels because I am also biased in that general direction, but I mean, I they are admittedly biased. Obviously Nature and Science are going to be your two primary, and Cell are like the three big, are the Lancet. Those are going to be your primary literature sources.
Great.
That are peer reviewed and legit.
Good.
And they often have more layman's terms articles, summing things up too. So
that's awesome.
In commentary.
All right. You heard it here. Go to the Lancet and Cell and Nature and Science.
Yep.
Weird.
Awesome.
Crazy sources.
It's time for five questions.
Five questions.
Okay. Right, so, and I will warn you, it is the pandemic version.
Oh, exciting. So, Laura, who is a doctor, you have been on our show before and answered our questions. And therefore, we answered questions you sent in a while ago.
Yeah.
But I made you write us more.
Yes. Less work for us.
So let's hear them. Let's do it.
All right. Theme related. Number one, how many rolls of toilet paper do you currently have in your home?
Ooh.
Six upstairs, six downstairs. And then we have the emergency backup supply of the brand we don't like, but it was available. That's like
12 rolls.
12 rolls.
I think, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think right now we have about 20.
Yep. That sounds. Yep. Yeah. All right. What about
there
you?
Were couple,
you
there were a couple of sales. There was like, oh, well, this is a good price. Yeah. I'll pick up a 12 pack and you know, so.
So we've also got a tornado warning going right now.
Oh, let's wrap it up. Wrap it up.
So, all right. So I've got like a case and a few. Okay. Number two. Have you tried any new pandemic hobbies?
New hobbies. I was doing some chalk art that I had never done before, making what looked like stained glass with tape and chalk. Otherwise, I'm baking more, but nothing that I hadn't baked before.
Yeah, really. I made biscuits.
You did make biscuits.
I've never been like a big baker, but I made biscuits I made chocolate chip cookies.
Mm-hmm. So as we do this, I'm actually going to get up and start moving in the general direction of my basement.
That sounds great. We can, Laura, we can wrap it too if you want. If it's a tornado, it's all good. We can just head out.
It hasn't actually. Like our roof is still here, but it's very green. So
I'm just looking because I'm not that far
all,
from you.
You can hear all of our.
I hear all the alerts going off.
All the alarms are going off. We have a come on, Loki.
This is super fun.
I'm already in the basement, so I'm fine.
All right,
Kim, new hobby.
I mean, the biggest new hobby that I have has been figuring out how to do performing online.
Yeah.
Which takes a lot of different work, but it has been rewarding. And
Laura, you have a nice house.
Yeah.
Our listeners, everybody's getting a tour of the house. And my husband.
Hello.
Hey.
All right.
Awesome.
We're going to go to the not so pretty part of our house, which is the
basement.
That's fine. Very messy
like
right
I
now.
Said, it's only a handful of people are watching. The rest of them are listening, and they are, I'm sure. If you're not from the Midwest of America right now, then just whatever the worst thing that happens in your part of the world is where you have to go take shelter, that's what's happening.
So we are now taking shelter in our basement. Which is
all right.
Totally. Okay, so we're going to.
Question three.
Question number three.
Question number three.
Amazing.
How are you managing to socialize?
Just fine for me, but I wasn't a super social person before. So I miss seeing people because I used to see people all day at work, but really, honestly, I would probably be okay even if I were totally alone. I'm just a solitary person.
You're much more social than I am. So that's why you all are much more social than I am, which is why I'm curious to know how you guys are handling it.
It's starting to wear on me. Like,
it's true.
I've been doing well up until like the last week or so. And it's starting to take its toll for sure. It's fine. Facebook is okay. And local bulletin board maybe that will go unnamed is helpful, but
I can tell because he spends more time, like he's usually on Facebook or phone and stuff, but like I can tell when it's like even more so he's disappearing into the social media because it's just like, that's it. That's all he has. So.
It's my people methadone.
How are you doing, Tim?
I feel like we're like three parts of the spectrum in that Molly is probably the most introverted of us. I am in what would surprise a lot of people. More introverted than a lot of people think, but still enjoy socializing. And then Nick is probably the most social of the three of us. But I have been doing a lot of Zoom calls. It's been nice in some ways. I've actually like seen my brother a lot more in the last couple of months because as you start to figure out these ways to stay connected with people, you get connected with the people that are all the way across the country. And yes, I spend a lot of time arguing with people on Facebook and then having other people support me in my arguments against others on Facebook.
I may be in the supporter category as well. Don't worry about it.
So, it's not the same. It's like, and we've mentioned it before on this podcast, but my band, which I've talked about, we lost a band member right as the pandemic started. We are having quote rehearsals every week, even though we can't really rehearse online, but it's really been kind of a lost therapy session because we lost somebody and then didn't have really a chance to be together and work through that loss.
Mm-hmm. You've had to grieve apart. Yeah.
And we've had to grieve without music, which would have been a big piece of the healing process that we haven't been able to have, which is why we're talking about ways to get together and make it work while still being safe. So yeah, that's my answer. It was, Question
four. Question four. What cancellation is the biggest disappointment? Since everything is being canceled.
So
it hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened yet.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
I'll say for me though, it's the marathon. Honestly, I'm more disappointed. The marathon hasn't technically been canceled yet, but there's no fucking way it's happening. Like there's just no way. If for no other reason than because you can't ask all those volunteers to stand in one spot while all of those people run past them, breathing and spitting and everything else. Even if you want to say, the runners are fine. That's not who I care about. I care about the people who are giving up their day. you know, to come be there. So for me, that's the biggest hit. This was, I turned 42. I haven't run a marathon in 15 years. It was going to be, I had all these like mental things that were like, this is the year, this is the year. And now it's not.
So, but, and it was the Twin City TC Marathon, right? Twin Cities Marathon?
It was the TC Marathon. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And yeah, it's not officially canceled, but it will be.
So yeah. Ever since starting at the job where I'm at now, which I work, you know, with your husband is a teammate of mine there. Just purely coincidentally, every on-call shift I've had has fallen over a spring con or fall con for the last 3 years. So, and that's the local, like for people that don't know, Minnesota Comic Book Association puts on a little nonprofit, like a dealer's room convention at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds.
And it's far enough away that it's too far.
Right. It's not a quick trip for us, especially if I want to like browse around and have fun and chat with friends that I'm going to run into running booths and stuff there and talk to artists and stuff. So I haven't really gotten to like go and enjoy it in a couple of years. And this year, one of my coworkers is buying a house and he took everyone's on-call shift for the network guys for the rest of the year.
So
I don't have any on-call for the rest of 2020.
He can do anything you want.
I can do anything I want.
We could take a trip. Okay, no. Well, we could go to a convention. No,
right.
No.
So
you can stay at home and sleep.
So I have all this extra flexibility and the things I would do with it are all gone.
Luckily, he doesn't have to stay at home all the time because he's not on call. No, I see.
There's so much.
Yeah.
It's hard to pick one. Normally I would pick the state fair, which was devastating, even though I knew it was coming. But honestly, the family was going to go to England for most of July. We were going to spend almost the entire month there.
You've had guidebooks for months.
I know. I love guidebooks.
Hopefully most of those places will still be there when quarantine is over.
Next year or the year after we'll go. But still, it was going to be my mom and the kids were going to come. And I was super excited because I've been to England before, but Pat hasn't been to England and the kids haven't been to England. And I was just like super excited to go. Here's this cool thing that I remember. Let's all go see it together. And hopefully at least one of them would also think it was cool. I can't bet it. But so that's been the hardest thing to give up.
What about you, Laura?
That's a good question. I think almost our entire band season has been canceled. And so, you know, we usually do competitions and we usually do a lot of parades around town. And so everything has been canceled until September so far. And things in September are going to get canceled too. There is to it. So it's kind of a bummer because we've worked really hard and a lot of people have worked really hard to get ready for the season, and just to have everything canceled sucks.
I feel that.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Question 5.
Last question. Oh, what is your prediction for the rest of the year? Could be good. Could be bad. Could be pandemic related. Could be anything.
I think that everything will be canceled that requires more than 100 people.
I'm pained by this question.
I know. But I think that ultimately when we come out of this, people are going to have spent more time with their families, spent more time getting to know themselves. I mean, there's a lot of introspection that's been happening for a lot of people that didn't normally do it. I am hopeful that I will come out with all of my friends and loved ones intact. That's my prediction.
I guess my prediction is that I will likely not do anything on a stage for the remainder of this calendar year.
How weird is that?
And knowing that that's like, you've had a fairly recent life change to get yourself to do lots of stage-based things.
So. Yeah, that's true. But I think that the flip side of that is I feel that by the end of the year and in the future, there are going to be more online opportunities for people in theater, because I think that, I mean, like Vilification Tennis, I think one of the things we've discovered is the number of people who can't come or don't come to our live shows on a stage, but are coming and watching our online shows. And I feel like a lot of those people will continue to be interested in the online shows, even after we're able to do shows on stage again. So I think that there's some opportunities that are going to grow out of this situation that are going to be beneficial for the industry that I'm in.
Nick?
I think that a lot of, I guess like my online social experience is fairly well curated and bubble-ish. But I imagine that a lot of people I know are going to be eating crow by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And I am really hoping that those lessons aren't learned at a very high cost.
That's a good way to put it.
But I get the feeling that, you know, people laughed when Molly and I were taking precautions on our way to Florida in at the end of January, because we were worried because there's a lot of international travel, and that could have been a focal point for where it started in the United States. So we were on top of it. We wore masks on the airplane and stuff. We washed our hands constantly.
At Disney World, it was like a never. We were like, okay, time for the bathroom. Wash your hands.
And then like when they said, you know, stock up on several
weeks of food.
And then it was 8 weeks of food. We were on that. We were doing that. And I feel like every step of escalation, there's always been friends or people we know that are like, you're overreacting. And my prediction is that a lot of those people are going to take a lot of this a lot more seriously by the end of the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, Laura?
Yeah, I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to have to say I told you so, but I think I'll be saying I told you so to quite a few people. You know, being, I guess, you know, I agree with all of you guys that, I think that what we've got is it's going to get worse. There are possibilities that supply chain, for food and other things will be disrupted. My pandemic hobby is gardening. So we actually planted a ton of fruits and vegetables this year.
Nice.
So that hopefully we can feed ourselves through the summer and can some things for winter as well. But I'm hopeful that this can actually, you know, that this is going to change some things, right? We've got an election in November coming up, and I want to see some change there.
Yeah.
Also I think there's a potential for a lot more, international camaraderie, in order to help each other. My brothers lives in Australia. Australia is basically unaffected at this stage. They have a few cases, but for the most part, they're not terribly affected. And obviously New Zealand, I think, has zero cases right now for the entire country.
They locked it down.
They locked it down hardcore. So did Australia. They did a really good job with their response. Yep. So again, I hope we don't have an I told you so situation, but I do recommend, you know, I have prepared. Oh, hi Peaches. As I'm also petting Mochi, who's down under the table hiding from the tornado sirens right now. I'm hopeful in the end. Prepared. Hopeful but prepared.
Yes, that's a great note to end on. Hopeful but prepared. That's all we can do, right? And just wash your fucking hands.
Stay safe. Wash your hands. Wear a mask.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Laura. This was absolutely amazing. Thank you for answering our questions. Anytime you want to come on, anything you want to talk about, you have an open door.
Next time, it's the rise and fall of the Roman Empire.
Yes.
Next time.
All right.
Let's all do some reading.
We've been Geeks Without God. If you like our show, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can like us there. You can rate us on Stitcher or iTunes or whatever the heck you use. Please give us a rating if you haven't already. It really helps us get visible to other people. And as always, if you have comments that you want to leave, please go ahead and put them on the Facebook or send them to us somewhere, and we will do our best to get to them. We have a Patreon that you can subscribe to at patreon.com/geeks.god. And patrons got to see us on video and were able to experience Laura's amazing flight through her house as the tornadoes were coming. So
you got to watch me cuddle my cat a little bit.
Some big pet energy this show. So
yeah, it was great.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks so much, Laura, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Wait. I have one more question. What if I really, really want a haircut?
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're has more authority. We don't accept divide superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Molly and I only have to worry about flash flood warnings until 4 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah! Yay.